Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all stars of light. Praise him, highest heavens. A hymn is 475. Let's stand.
If that don't move you, I don't know what will. Praise God. Philippians 4:6 tells us, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We have a few prayer requests this morning, and it has to deal with our seminary students. Sam Evangelista, his wife delivered a stillborn baby. We need to remember them in prayer. David Corbin, his wife's grandfather passed away. Bruce Cheeks, his dad was injured seriously in an accident. We don't have more details than that on it. And Stoney Blevins, his wife's sister has a 2-year-old daughter with a malignant tumor. So I'd like for you to remember each one of these in your prayer time. And if you have prayer requests, would you lift them up to God now as we go to the Lord in prayer? Would you pray with me, please? Almighty Heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you and bless you in the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you for this grand opportunity to approach your throne. Lord, to approach it through grace, the grace supplied by Jesus Christ, your Son. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to come into your house, to worship together, to fellowship, to hear your word. Father, let each one of us now remember these requests that have been made. Father, we lift requests up to you silently from our hearts. Father, we know that you are the mighty physicianer, you are the mighty provider. And Lord, we just give these prayer requests to you. We ask, Father, that each person here will empty their thoughts and concentrate upon this message being brought by Dr. Miller. Lord, we just ask your blessings upon him. We ask that this message may be delivered to glorify you. We ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Love for all the world, and in this very room, there's quite enough joy for a world, and there's quite enough hope and quite enough power to chase away any gloom. For Jesus, for Jesus is in this very room, in this very room, in this very room.
Our scripture passage today is taken from the book of Luke, the 11th chapter. I'll be reading verses 1 through 13 in the King James Version. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then be an evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him.
Something's always been intimidating about preaching in this chapel. You feel like you've got to have a very fancy message. I really don't today. In fact, it's a very simple message. Message that goes back to many experiences in my own life. I don't know if any of you have ever been sick. Or I don't mean with the grip or anything. I mean sick, really sick. It's only happened to me twice. Once when I was in fifth grade and once right after I graduated from high school. Came down with hepatitis. Spent 4 months in the hospital with it. They never figured out how I got it. Every week, pastor would come to the hospital. Every week, he'd pray for the doctors and the nurses. First couple of weeks, it didn't make much difference. I was too sick to care. By the third and fourth week, I was getting mad. The doctors and nurses were driving Mercedes and making big bucks. It was my life that was being messed up, not theirs. And I remember feeling a great deal of anger at that. Anger that somehow what was really important couldn't be talked to, couldn't be talked about in the context of prayer. Prayer was to be reserved for pious platitudes. Prayer was to be reserved for nice phrases about the will of God. The one thing you weren't supposed to do when you prayed was talk about anything really real. Now, the Bible doesn't talk that way. The Bible, particularly the New Testament, talks about prayer in a free and open way, talks about prayer in terms of a simplicity. That's what Jesus is talking about today, a real simplicity of prayer. Learning how to pray for what really matters, learning how to pray for what really counts, learning how to pray in a way that has an authenticity to it, and it's not just the muttering of platitudes. You see, learning how to pray is not something that's really difficult. It really shouldn't be. It's something that's very simple, and we make it very difficult. It's something that's very genuine, and we make it very inauthentic. It's something that ought to unite us to God, and we frequently use it to beat on our neighbor. Prayer in the New Testament is simple. So simple that we often miss the point, and miss the point dreadfully. Small boy went to his father one day. He said, "Dad, I've got some questions about sex." The father had been dreading this, but like all good fathers, he was prepared. He'd been to the Christian Family Life Conference. He had all the answers. He got out his 3x5 cards and he went through them one by one. And when it was all over, he said, "Any questions, son?" And the boy says, "Just one. What does MRF mean?" Sometimes we make complicated that which is simple. In our text today, there are three points where Jesus is very simple. First, he says, pray with the promise in mind. Pray expecting God to be able to answer your prayer. Pray with some confidence about prayer. That's kind of hard to do because most of the time we don't think about a verse, "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." We don't think that way. We think that somehow God can only do what we think God can do, and that we'd better tell God what to do and how to do it. I have a good friend who was my wife's college roommate, a young woman named Mary Martha. Mary Martha has a problem. She has cerebral palsy. It was such a problem that Southern Seminary wouldn't accept her as a student. It was such a problem that our home mission board laughed when she said she wanted to do missionary work. Indeed, nobody listened to her. No matter where she turned, she had two problems. She was a woman and she was sick. Nobody wanted her. And when she got turned down at Southern, I called her up and I said, "Well, Mary Martha, you know, sometimes these disappointments happen." She says, "There's no disappointment. God's going to be with me. I'm going to do what God wants me to do, no matter what Southern Seminary says." Southern Seminary was pretty sure she'd be dead within 3 years. She's not dead. She is ministering. You see, we think God can only work the way we think God can work. The Bible doesn't put it that way. The Bible says, look at the promise, trust it. There's always something new that God can bring out of God's Word. There's always some new possibility in this world. If we wanted to look at this very abstractly, we could talk about Ernst Bloch and his philosophy. Ernst Bloch was a German philosopher, and he said that we'd made one mistake in philosophy. Where the world was dynamic, we made it static. Where the world talked about movement, we talked about being. Where we wanted to talk about how things were, the world was always moving into how things will be. God is going to bring about a new future. What you see now is not all there is to either reality or to God's promise. Behold, I make all things new. Do you believe that enough to pray that way? Behold, I make all things new. God's not on the side of the powers and the principalities. God's not on the side of a world as it is. God's bringing about something new. Pray with the promise in mind, because God's not finished with his creation yet. And he won't be finished till the whole of human history is wrapped up and complete. Play with a promise in mind. Learn to pray for something that's real. Don't get into the Baptist habit of just prayers. Lord, just do this. Lord, just do that. Ever listen to us as Baptists pray? Lord, I'm thankful all these people are here today. We don't usually mean that. We can usually think of 15 we wish weren't there, can't we? Let's be honest when we pray. Let's pray for something that really means something in our lives and stop just going through the forms of saying what we think ought to be said. You can go to any Baptist church in the South and ask somebody to pray and hear the same prayer. Without prayer book, without catechesis, the same prayer. If all of us have the same prayer, either we're in the presence of a miracle or we're not being very honest. Pray for what's real. And pray trusting God. That's what the last set of parables was about. Which of you fathers, if the son asks for a fish, will give him a snake? When we turn to a father, we turn trusting God to do what is good and right. Because God is a father, because God is a parent, because God comes to us as a mother, as a keeper, as a preserver. To learn to pray the way Jesus prayed is to learn to pray trusting God to do what is right. Think about the time in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus prayed for what he wanted, and the Bible's pretty blunt about that. Let this cup pass from me. Or to put it into other language, Lord, I don't want to be here. Let's hear what that prayer is about. It's offered up in full honesty. Our Lord prays for what's on his heart and mind, but he trusts God to do what's right. That's what when you've mastered that, you've learned a lot about what the Bible means by prayer. Are you mature enough to learn to pray simply? Are you mature enough in your faith to learn to pray for that which really matters to you? Are you mature enough in your faith to trust God not only with your wise prayers, but with your foolish prayers. Not only with those prayers you expect to fulfill yourself, but with those that really do require a God that keeps promise. Do you say to God, you are my Father, but not trust him to lead you to what is good? Do you say to God, you are my mother, and not trust the embracing arms of one who cares? Are you mature enough spiritually to pray simply?
May we pray. Father, it's with humble yet wanting hearts we come unto you. We are but children in the world of the Spirit. We are but dust in your fields. Yet, O Lord, your word is true, both in and to our hearts. Your faithfulness is forever and ever. Your promises you have truly kept. It is these promises we claim today, that you are faithful and sure to give unto your children good things, which we ask of you. We ask this day that you send the Holy Spirit to comfort and guide our lives. We ask for the power to witness, for wisdom to speak, for humbleness to listen, for tears of compassion, for time to reach the lost. Give us increase in all things, both material and spiritual, so that we may share the riches of your kingdom with those who have none. We thank you in advance, Father, for the gifts we are about to receive and the opportunities of service which we are going to be obliged to service in you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.